Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in today. This is Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So thank you for tuning in today, and a very happy Wednesday. I just heard this week that Thanksgiving this year is on a Thursday again. I don't know, statistically, I would think one of these times it's not going to be on a Thursday. But anyway, and you've got a lot to do, no doubt, and I think if you want a little bit of advice from me, this is, of course, all free. The secret to getting things done that you don't want to do is to take on other things that you want to do even less. And that kind of fires you up to do the things you actually don't want to do. If you just take on a little job that you want to do even less, it'll motivate you to get the other job done. I know it's kind of reverse thinking, but that's the way my mind works. My mind is simple yet complicated. Anyway, we've got a great couple of hours coming up today on Live the Promise. In hour one, we have on studio line Bob Bodine. He's written a book called Two Chairs, The Secret That Changes Everything, and we're excited to get to that. And then in the second hour, we've got Alex McFarland, and I've spoken to Alex before, and we're going to talk about exposing the 10 biggest myths about Christianity. And that's going to be a lively conversation. Alex has got a lot of enthusiasm for the subject, and I'm looking forward to talking to him as well. But my first guest today is quite the entrepreneur. He is the president and CEO of Eastman and Bodine and recognized as the top sports entertainment search executive in the U.S. How cool is that? Bodine also serves as a member of the board of directors of the two-time American League champion Texas Rangers. So I'm sorry, but that's cool as well, because I'm a big baseball fan. Bob and his wife, Cheryl, have been married 32 years and have three grown daughters. They live in Plano, Texas. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, great being with you.
Thank you so much. Now, I know dear old mother came up with this beautiful two chairs illustration, and I want to ask you about that right off the bat.
Well, you know, moms are amazing, aren't
they? Yes, they are. My mom is listening right now.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. You know, moms, especially in the generation that you and I have moms in this process, you know, also went through a period of time where, you know, they were taking roles in the country as the spiritual leaders because mm-hmm. they're, you know, the dads that were so busy doing stuff and for some reason kind of took their eye a little bit off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And moms kind of did this. And so, you know, my dad was this hugely successful, you know, guy in industry and business and had, you know, was a Notre Dame, was kind of a guy who was a Mensa. And, you know, he was my go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to spiritual things, I went to my mom on this subject. And, you know, I was asking her questions like, hey, so what do I do about dreams and goals, and what do I do about finding a mate, and how what do we do in times of trouble? And she said, those are really good questions, Bob. I don't have the answer, but I know who does.
Yeah.
And so she said, she says, you know, when I go and have trouble, she said, I'm going to teach you something that'll change the entire trajectory of your life. If you did it every day, she said, there's just something about this. And so she started to teach me about the subject of two chairs.
Well, okay, comma.
And so listen to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to tease in some facet. What is this that she was trying to do? Well, in times of trouble, my mom said, can I ask you three simple questions and I'll point you? And I said, great. And so she said, first question, so does God know your situation? you know, there are people today who are in times of trouble. They've lost their jobs. I mean, that's really kind of the part when that I'm in. You know, 69% of the country don't like their jobs. 80% aren't using their number one talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming into this situation. And so there's times of people who are having just flat-out trouble on aspects of finances or sickness or various things. Does God know? And I looked at my mom and I said, yes, he knows. And she goes, you know, you're right. She says, a lot of people, Bob, think God has like 6 telephone lines for like 7 billion people. You know, like,
and they're always full.
Yeah, and it's like he only works on ISIS, heart attacks, and natural disasters.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not really a good person. Would he really listen to me?
Right.
No, God knows, and he will. And he knows you. And the highest priority in times of crisis is putting your mind above it. And the highest thought, of course, is God. So then she hits me with question number 2. And she says, is this too hard for him to handle?
Ooh.
And I said, and you know, that's really interesting for people because, you know, the answer is no. You know, I, as an executive recruiter, I can look at people's resumes and I can tell you whether they're, you know, capable and they're demonstrated record achievement. And I can pretty much tell you, here's this person would be really good when they come in the interview. Now, I've seen God's resume, Bill. It's really good.
Yeah.
He's never lost.
No.
So the answer is this too hard for him to handle?
I don't
think
so. No,
it's not.
Yeah.
No. And so the question comes to the pivotal question. Does he have a good plan for you? And the answer is yes, but I looked at and my mom and she said to me, so what is it? And I said, what? And she said, the plan. And I said, I don't know, Mom. And she said, exactly. She says, 2 chairs. She said, Bob, if there's a 1% chance that God would meet you tomorrow at 2 chairs at your house, one for you, one for him, don't sit in his chair. If he'd meet you there, would you go? And the answer I said is, well, absolutely, yes. And she says, well, where have you been?
Oh.
She says, make sure you're there, she says, because he wants to meet you. I mean, this is really funny, Bill, because, you know, when we start out is in this process is that God said, ask, seek, and knock, and he want to speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, in this aspect is when we're starting about something and seeking him first in the morning, well, why are we seeking him 7th? And God said to renew our minds daily.
Mm-hmm.
And so why do we only do it on Sundays and Easter? Those are just good questions.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at these questions in a little bit different fashion here, Bob. I want to ask you, question number 1, does God know your situation? Maybe I'm feeling angry, skeptical, sad, and maybe the tagline is, does God know my situation, but does he care?
Yeah. You know, the answer is he does care. So God knows sometimes in these situations, I try to tell people that trouble, it's one thing that's common between all of us, right? It's messy, it's dangerous, it's sometimes scary, it's sometimes we get such bad circumstances. And so sometimes I try to say people because we all at the same time love epic movies and turnarounds. I mean, so what do they have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Well, trouble.
Right.
And so your trouble sometimes is an opportunity for God to show up and show off. The whole Bible is filled with stories of things of trouble and God looking in and saying, hey, you know, he likes to come in and do something great for you in the midst of it. Sometimes also, you know, there's some trouble that we have that you and I both would look back. I mean, let me ask you, Bill, I mean, have you ever had any trouble in your life that you really didn't like, but when now that you look back, it really helped you?
Oh, sure. I think of times when I was kicking and screaming the loudest and the hardest. And
yeah.
I look back and I go, those were pivotal times.
Yeah, and of course, all of us have that. And so sometimes, you know, we have to lean not on our own understanding, but just acknowledge him. And in this time of trouble that we're going through, you know, the answer is God is all loving. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He can do anything, anytime, everywhere. And the answer is with any person he wants. And the answer is but it's going to be good because, you know, he loves you.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I know there's no situation too hard for him to handle, but what if the answer we get from him is something we don't like and something we don't want? How do we live with that?
So, you know, one of the things that's really fascinating is that, you know, today, one of my favorite quotes I tell people is that, you know, it could be a Ronald Reagan quote. It could be a George Washington. It just happens here is John, you know, Apostle John. He says that in this world, John 16:33, mm-hmm. you will have trouble.
Yes.
How much trouble? Well, you're going to have buttloads.
Yes.
It never ends.
Right.
So listen, get over it. So the first facet is he then says you get to do one thing only. What is that? Be of good cheer.
Oh, I love it, too, because that's, I think, the good news version, the be of good cheer, because that's the one I memorized it in.
Exactly. And,
yes.
And there's four things there. Be of good cheer. Be strong and courageous. Take heart. Cheer up. Why? Well, I gave you some inside information about the end. Well, this doesn't really please people in a lot of times because he says, hey, I overcame the world. I know. But hold it a second. I got trouble. You just don't know my trouble.
Yeah.
And the answer is, yeah, I know. He knows. And here's the thing. That's why two chairs is so important. Because he wants you to sit with him. And he wants you to share all this with him every morning, first thing. He wants you to make an exchange. And this exchange is you can't actually do it. So sometimes he's working on the situation. Sometimes he's working on you and me, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Bob,
and he just needs to change some things in us. Why? Because, dang, the world revolves around Bob and Bill, doesn't it?
Pretty much. Bob, don't overstimulate me. You're getting me very excited right now.
You know, it's just that we have a tough world, and
yes, we do.
In this time, this is not for the meek and this.
Right.
So God said, "Listen, I'm with you. I've got plans. I'm going to stick with you. So listen, you're going to have to fight through this, and sometimes you got to just stick in there, and then what? Cast your care on me because you're not capable of handling this care. It's above your pay grade."
I agree. Okay, Bob.
I don't have an answer for it.
Bob,
sometimes.
Pop quiz. Because you and I both love the Good News version, where Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. How often are Christians characterized as people of good cheer?
We have no one of good cheer. The whole world is not encouraging people. We're not greeting people. We're not saying hello. We're not positive. We're just thinking about the trouble we're in. Listen, that's the whole key to this whole two chairs thing. Listen, he knows. Hey, listen, he's got this. The answer is, but what I need from you, how will I know you believe me? You know, Bill, everyone believes lots of things, but few believe. And it's going to take some faith. I have friends of mine, they look at me and go, Bob, I don't believe in that faith thing. I said, sure you do. Have you ever been like in a cab in New York?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Have you been on an airplane?
Right.
I mean, did you check the lug nuts?
Right.
The answer in this process sometimes is this. Hey, we've got some trouble, but your job is cheer. And the only way I'll know, God, when you make the exchange in the morning, he knows whether you're believing him and having faith. How? You'd be cheerful.
Exactly. All right, Bob, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I have lots of questions. And when we return, I want to talk about your mother and how she contributed to your testimony of coming to faith in Christ. All right? All right. Now, you listen to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back. Okay, Bobby, round two. Let's get back in the ring.
Love it.
All right. Now, I know your mom was a spiritual mentor and guide, but I'm curious, and I think our listeners want to hear how you personally, Bob Bodine, came to faith in Christ.
So you know, I grew up in the facet of just going to church where, dang, our church could do it in Latin and incense, and as long as we're done in 29 minutes and we go watch the Chicago Bears, it'd be good. It wasn't that I didn't love God or wasn't reverential to it. Is I just treated him a little bit kind of like an appellate court judge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're waiting for thy will be done, and I love God, and I was just trying to do 51% of my time the best, and do my works and do this. And a lot of people do that. They just don't know that, you know, it's not just, and I'd pray, and I had a monologue, but it was never a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people who love God, but if you and I are friends, Bill, we would speak on a frequency that we both heard each other, and then you and I'd meet frequently. And so I didn't have that. And so my mom, you know, who grew up different, had a personal relationship, you know, she then focused in and finally kind of said, drew the line and said, hey, look, we got to We got to know the Word. We got to know about Him. We got to spend time talking to Him and praying and loving Him and this. And so I could just kind of see a transfer. And then, you know, when I came home my junior year of college, my mom was like on fire. And dang, I said to her, dang, you look beautiful. I mean, there's an aroma, something about something, you know, when someone has this fragrance of God, it's just beautiful. And so I came home and I looked at my dad and I said, what the heck's going on with Mom? She's like reading the Word. She's like in this. She's just like joyous in the midst of all the trouble or anything. She's just peaceful. And he goes, I don't know. Maybe she's just going through her time of life. And so when I came home my senior year, I saw it in my dad.
Oh, wow.
And so my dad totally changed. My dad just called me up my senior year and he looked at me and said, hey, look it, I need to talk to you. And everything, Bob, that I've told you, you and I are best friends, and I love you. And you know, my dad had kind of gotten in and started. My dad was really smart, read Mere Christianity, a C.S. Lewis, and kind of, you know, was almost a little too smart for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad said to me, everything I've kind of taught you is wrong. Here's what we've done. Mom and I have set up two chairs in a room, and we prayed that room up, and we want you to go in and create a relationship with Christ. I want you to go in and tell Him you're sorry. Tell Him, you know, as I did. And I want you to go in and ask Him into your heart. And I want you to sit down and talk with Him. And then He says, I want you to then come out and Mom and I are going to pray for you. And so, dang, when I opened the door, Bill, I could feel it.
Wow.
It changed everything. And of course, I asked God in. And in my life, you know, I asked Jesus into my heart and asked for forgiveness. And things just changed and everything. And I mean, when I came out, my mom and dad kind of laid hands on me. And we just started a journey, you know, back, you know, years and, you know, that just had an impact on my life. And it's never stopped. And I've been doing two chairs since.
That's awesome. That's just, I love it. I love the idea that you meet with God and you put Him in a chair and speak to Him and commune with Him and fellowship with Him and probably recite scripture out loud to Him, don't you?
Yes, and so it's so fantastic. The other day, you'll love this, is one of my buddies, Tom Ziegler, Zig Ziegler's son, has been doing two chairs, and he started doing two chairs, and he said, oh my gosh, Bob, he said, I set up my chairs, I sat down, I looked at him and I said, I looked at God early, it's 5 a.m., and I said, so good morning, God. He says, Bob told me to come. And he looked and he goes, now listen, he said, I want this to be real. I want you to talk to me. I want this, you know, I want to share. If you're real, of course, you have to reveal. And he says, I want this to be amazing. And so he says, so good morning. And so what do you have to say? What can I say? And you know what God said to him right into his ear?
What?
You're in my chair. He stood up, changed chairs.
Oh.
And then he laughed and he turned and God said to him, is that real enough for you? And now they started to commune. And it's like the sweetest spirit. So days they sit and exchange. You know, one of the things that's so great about this, Bill, is there's some things that we need to share with God, and we've been doing that, but we never stop to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God said that let those who have ears to hear. Be still. Know that I'm God. I've got some things to say. We're going to do some time separate where we pray and we study the Word and we do devotionals. But I always just looked at people who did devotionals, and I love them. Don't get me wrong. Oswald Chambers, Sarah Young, Francis Roberts, Liz. But then I finally started reading them enough, and I started to really like them. And then I said, I'm looking at someone who's actually having a conversation of God with God better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to vicariously live through that. I wanted to have that. And God does with each person today. You have some personal concerns. You're listening today. It's overwhelming. It's way above your pay grade. You can't answer how. You need to sit down and talk to Him. He wants to meet with you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad He made you. He made no mistakes. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered, and He needs to remind you who you are and whose you are and the path you're called. He wants to remind us all that we're sons and daughters of the King, and we need to spend time with Him and get the mission and the plan for the day.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the steps being ordered. I want to go back to the three questions. If listeners have just joined in, The three questions again are: does he help me out here, Bob?
Does God know your situation?
Does God know your situation? Answer is emphatically yes. Is this too hard? Answer is emphatically no. And then, of course, does he have a good plan for you? And of course, the answer is yes. So those are the questions. Now, when you talk about ordering the steps, this is where I think it gets a little tricky, because some people are listening and thinking, okay, talking to an empty chair, this guy's a little nuts.
Yeah, of course I do.
I like him, but he's nuts.
I know it. I get it, totally.
So talk about the steps being ordered. Just elaborate on that some more, because the verse...
First off is that you got to know first that let's just talk about hearing God and sitting down and this ordering the steps. So if your wife calls you, Bill, on the phone and says, hey, hon, what are you doing? Do you say, who is this?
No.
Right. You know her voice, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. If your wife is at a party and she's in the corner of the room and you look over, she has got like seven signals she can say without saying a word, doesn't she?
Of course.
She can say, hey, save me over here. She can say, hey, what are we doing here? I need to go. Or she could say, oh, my gosh, I'm having fun. How about you? And mm-hmm. She hasn't said anything. You know why? Because your mind is only used like 5%. Well, with God's mm-hmm. mind, because we have the mind of Christ, we can actually talk and we are one with him. So this is fascinating. So as we sit with him and say, hey, does he have a plan for us? The real question would be is, hey, we know in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has plans for you. They're good. They mm-hmm. have a future. They got a hope, right? They're prosperous. Mm-hmm. We know that. But why would he say in Numbers 11:17, I will come down and speak with you? Why would he say in Proverbs 1:23 that if you'd hear my rebuke, what's the rebuke? Well, dang, that you'd listen to me. I would have shared all my thoughts, okay? I would have shared all my counsel with you.
Mm-hmm.
So are you and I actually going to go through our lives and not actually talk to God? So we go through this thing and we're waiting for like thy will be done. And so when I want something and I say, where should I go to college? Am I going to find that college name in Romans 11:13? No. No, God's got to talk to you. He's got to share with you. He's got to start to develop a relationship. And God wants to speak. He wants to share. And he's going to talk to you step by step. Is he going to give you the whole plan? Absolutely not. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to first require an exchange in the morning. He wants you to give him the trouble. Most of the time I can't even listen to God. I'm so busy mm-hmm. because my mind's on my trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to leave and I'm going to carry my trouble. And here's the problem. If you're carrying your trouble today, well, you're God over it. And you're going to have to decide, is God able to manage your trouble? And are you able to give it to him and be cheerful and go out and do a couple things that he wants you to do today? You know, people have so many excuses for two chairs. Hey, I'm really busy. Listen, time is everybody's enemy.
Right.
But timing's your best friend.
Now, Bob, you don't.
So as an executive recruiter, I can prove to that if you're in the right spot, the right time, and who you associate with matters, well, you can't be in any better room than with God.
Yeah. Bob, we got a hard break coming up. But you're smart and practical, and this is what I love about our conversation. Talking to Bob Bodine, his book is Two Chairs, The Secret That Changes Everything. We'll take a short break and be right back. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening today. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We're having a great conversation with Bob Bodine. I think we got a couple of his books we can give away in the form of a drawing. So you have to send an email to aaron@myfaithradio.com, put two chairs in the subject line, and then make sure you put your name and address. So if you win, you're the lucky person. We'll know where to send it, because we're not psychic around here, even though we'd like to think we are from time to time. Anyway, round three. Robert, are you ready?
I'm in it. Let's go.
Okay. Now, in chapter four of your book, you want to remind everyone that despite how you might feel, you're never alone.
You know, so this is a problem today is that you know, when we get to a situation and trouble hits us, you know, we have like 29 million people out of a job, and they feel humiliated, and they won't tell their friends that they're out of a job. And when we've ever done anything, we're so used to kind of getting isolated. And of course, that's an enemy tactic.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy wants to surprise you. I mean, if you really look back in history on military, or we watch football this weekend, which everyone's going to do, and, you know, the offensive coordinator is going to try to do three things. He's going to surprise you. He's going to throw a bomb. He's going to try to do a quick hit here or do something there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's trying to isolate the cornerback. He's going to isolate some people. And then he's going to all of a sudden discourage you. And that's how our enemy, let's not go all the way to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to first surprise you and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that you're saying, you're not alone. And so we have to have a time that we're spending with God a little more frequently so that we can feel it. So this is interesting. So if I set up two chairs, and so I already know the situation I got, which is if I'm in trouble, I already got this. But now we're going to test the 1% chance, because I've never had anybody, Bill, that I've said if there's a 1% chance that God would meet you tomorrow, that they wouldn't go. And so God promises he will meet you. But mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You sit down, and you and I are sitting and talking. God said in Proverbs that if I would acknowledge you, so that's just like I'm acknowledging you, Bill. Hey, Bill, I just acknowledge you.
Mm-hmm.
He promised that he would direct my path. If you would lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because I'm going to ask you to do something a little spiritually. Or you've got to have some faith with two chairs. You got to come in, because being alone is the subject of where the enemy's trying to get you to. But God wants to meet you. You're not alone. He's with you. He's going to guide you. He always said that he would do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, all you have to do is if you would draw nigh to him, just draw nigh, sit in the two chairs, even if you didn't do anything. If we got a room in a glass and the people are watching the most impressive person they could possibly think of in their life, and they're in this, and all your friends and everybody in your business all get to walk by and see the two of you in this room with this person, that would be amazing. The first couple of days, they'd say, I wonder if he's in trouble. Why would they be with that person?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third or fourth days, they start to see that you're laughing in there. And then the sixth or seventh or eighth day, they start to go, dang, are they friends? And then they start to see you come out of the room and you've changed. Now, we're not just with somebody. We're with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the master architect, the person who knows everything about you, everything about your future, everything about your past. And he wants you to know everything about him. And the question is, would we take 5 minutes, 1 minute in the morning, that you just share your heart, your heartbreak, your shame, your trouble, and then listen for 4 minutes. Just be quiet. Just be still and watch how he talks to you and how he illuminates your mind as to what he has in plans for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Such a powerful illustration. Bob, and of course, remind our listeners Proverbs 15:22. Is that a verse you've got at the top of your tongue?
So give that to me. What is
plans fail for lack of counsel.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But with many advisors, they succeed. And I think I just want to follow up on your point that we need a lot of smart people around us, godly people that can speak truth into our lives.
I think that when I wrote The Power of Who, my first book, one of the most impressive and most impactful things that I've ever talked about was having a personal board of directors. And, of course, that's my second chapter of two chairs, is once you sit at two chairs, he gave you specific people to help you. God gave them into your life. They're friends and family. And we don't see our friends and family as resources and conduits to our dream, right? And we don't like to ask people, but, Bill, if you and I are best friends and I ask you for help, would you help me?
Of course I would.
Well, why would you deny me the same joy of helping me, you know, and let me help you? And so I find that people get stuck in this. It never works in reverse. And so what we do is we don't like to ask. It's some pride. It's like we've been taught in the South. It's rude to ask.
Mm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
No. So there's two parts of my brain that drops endorphins. It makes me euphorically happy, makes you endorphically happy. And it's not position, power, and money. It's gratitude and giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't let me help you, if you don't share your stuff with people around you that God gave you, listen, you're stopping their buzz. They don't get to go home And they don't get to tell their wife and their kids that they did something great today. They helped their friend. You know, we're trying too hard to be achievers. And we're supposed to be receivers. God's done this. He's already completed this. He needs you to follow the plan. He needs you to listen to him. You need to seek him first. Mm-hmm. And then all these other things are added unto you.
Mm-hmm. You have in your book, Bob, this line. It says, it's so comforting to know that every day God has thoughts he'd like to share with us about friends, family, relationships, career, health, finances, and everything in between.
You know, isn't it amazing that we've been actually, you know, missing out on something that was, you know, when you make the exchange in the morning of your trouble and you do it, for the first time he goes, he starts to illuminate your mind with people. So he starts to remind you, hey, did you call your daughter Jenny today? Did you tell her, hey, I'm thinking about you and I appreciate you and I love you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hug a person when you came in? You know, Zig Ziglar used to say this fantastic thing that whether it was 8 a.m. or 8 p.m., he would always greet someone before they spoke to him. What happened to that? Nobody greets anybody. They got their earphones on.
That's true.
If you go on a plane with someone, they're not going to talk to you. They turned and looked at their iPad. No, God had some people that he was going to give you to help you. He had some people that he needed you to stop and encourage. If we do our part with that which God says, listen, I need you to stop over here. He tells me like at 10 a.m., at various times I'm sitting with him. Now listen, in this mid-morning, I'm going to have someone call you, and I need you to stop what you're doing. Stop thinking about Eastman and Bodine, and I need you just to go and help that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, dang, if not at mid-morning, someone doesn't call, you know? And the answer is that it's simple little stuff. This is, you know, when I wrote the first book, I just said, hey, you need friends, and your friends were given to you. And this book, you know, drop the mic. Hey, you need to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wouldn't that be novel?
Right, exactly.
But somehow, we've made this confusing. I was on Fox News the other day, and so he looked, and he was really funny, and he said, I've got Bob Bodine on the show next, and he says, he's going to talk about talking to God. And then he rolls out, he says, it's really appropriate since the show that preceded us was Lucifer.
Oh, funny.
Right, okay, so this is where we're in. And then he stops and says, hey, you know, come on, Bob. You know, people are going to be skeptical. I said, you know, today we have people who are believers, and I'm telling people who are believers, look at, you know, 75% of the country believe in God. They read the Word. They do all this, but they're not spending time at two chairs,
mm-hmm.
less than 1%. And I'm just trying to enhance it. I want you to read the Word more. I want you to do devotionals. I want you to do studies and go to church and love people. But I also want you to talk to him because he's got a plan for you, and we don't want to miss this. We have people who are seekers who would like this, but they just don't know it. And this is such a great message for you to share with us. I think this is the easiest way to witness to someone in the world. Why? Because everyone we know is in trouble. And so I say to people all the time, listen, I know you're in trouble and I want to be compassionate and I want to listen to you. I said, can I ask you a few questions, the three questions? And I say, listen, can I ask you these questions? Now, don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at me, you got to get mad at my mom. And if they laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk them through and they go, I just don't know those answers. And I go, if there's a 1% chance, would you go? And they say, yes. And then there are some people, Bill, who are skeptics. And I say to those people, now listen, you know, you've got to test something because if you want something you never had, you're going to have to do some things you've never done. And if you're on a gurney heading to the hospital, you're not thinking about prescription plans. You're not thinking about rehab programs. You know what you're thinking about? Please, God, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm telling people is this. Listen, he's not mad at you. He's not mad he made you, and I don't care if you've been going to church, you haven't done anything, he knows, and you're not too late, you're not too early, he's got a plan, and he'd like to talk to you about it tomorrow morning. Set up your chairs. It doesn't matter if they're lawn chairs, they're bean bags, everybody's got something. The secret of the universe, you know, isn't about furniture, it's who sits in it.
Right. Okay, now, if we're going to set up two chairs, and we're going to start trying a different pattern, and we're going to get serious about this, and this is going to be a positive change in my life if I do it, I would expect there's going to be some opposition.
Yeah. So listen, the enemy does not want you doing this. This is a under no circumstances. So you should start to be hearing in your mind as soon as you set up your two chairs. You should hear, come on, seriously, this is a waste of your time.
Yeah. Don't you feel
you're
stupid?
Never going to hear this. No one's ever going to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're not a good person. Listen, look what you just did an hour ago.
Yeah.
Are you talking about this? Listen, he's never going to forgive you for that. So I had a person just sent me a note, and they said they were in Chicago O'Hare, and they went by, and they said, listen, I've never really gone to church. I don't really know this. I don't know what to do. And they keep being magnetized to the book. And so they buy the book. They start reading it on their way home, and they got 120 pages in. They're cried four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stops and then says, ask simple questions like, so seriously, if I set this up, will he come? Yes. Willie, do I need to talk aloud? You need to talk just like you and I, Bill, are talking. I mean, he talks to you. Now, is he going to talk like Morgan Freeman to you? Do you have to have George Burns or Bruce Almighty?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? No. You hear his voice in your mind. Seriously, can he talk out loud? He can do anything he wants, he's got.
Of course.
But the answer is, he hasn't ever done that to me. The answer is, but I hear him clearly. And the answer is, here's what you're going to hear when you hear God. You're going to feel, I love you. You're going to feel affirmed. Thank you for coming. Get over here. Let's talk. Listen, I'm so glad you're here. I can't believe, you know, this is going to be, we're starting something fantastic. I've got some things to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
Yeah.
Give me what? Give me that trouble. I know. Listen to me. I know. I know about it. Say you're sorry. Go ahead. Just tell me. Let's move on. So Jesus has done such an amazing job to open a door for us, right? And God on throne. I mean, as Christians, you and I believe that you and I have died and Christ lives in us, and now we are seated in heavenly places. That's an interesting word. At two chairs, seated with him.
Right. That's awesome.
And then the apostles are all looking, going, how do we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is heaven. He's taken those chairs. He's put it in your house. And we can tabernacle now. Can you imagine the legacy that you're going to be able to have with your sons, your grandsons, granddaughters, daughters, when you show them and say, this is what I do every morning.
Mm.
This is the secret that changes everything, that we can know him before we get there.
And Bob, I would say that this is going to take some courage, and
yeah.
we need to just know and remember that God's going to be with us every step of the way.
We do. And you know, some people say to me, so Bob, hey, so tell me all, what's he going to say to me? Well, there's not three chairs. This is just you and him. You got to show up.
Right.
Listen to me. If you would take this one step of faith, okay? You know, you've tried everything else. It's not working.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make the exchange with God, then you're going to make the exchange for Maker's Mark and cocaine and other problems because you can't handle the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And people are doing that. They're lonely. They're hurt. They got all this problem. They're a victim. The answer is God's going to make you a victor. You're going to sit with him, and you're going to know he cares about you. He loves you. He's got wisdom and insight and power and favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, favor can just, like, pave the way. All he has to do, if you sat with him and just was quiet, just give you one thought, one idea, introduce you to one friend, and it can stop all this trouble. It can move you in another direction. But you've got to start with God.
Yeah. All right, Bob.
How you start your day matters.
Yeah. We're going to take a little break, and if you want to step into this cage match and ask Bob a question, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. We have time for maybe a call or two. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Live the Promise, talking to Bob Bodine. And Bob, I want to get to practical application. I want to figure out just how we go about this. So I want to go and get two chairs, talk it over with God. I want to leave nothing out. I want to talk about my fears that I'm facing. What else do I want to do?
you know, you want to, you know, when you sit down with God, can you imagine? I mean, people don't really realize that, I don't know how to express the inexpressible. So the actual guy who created the whole world is going to sit in your house. He's coming to you. He's coming down. Mm-hmm. So when you do it, you know what I do? I'm devoted. First off, I'm seeking him and panting like a deer at the river brook to get him.
Awesome.
It's so big. I'd sell everything I have to find the one pearl, the chair, so mm-hmm. I could talk to him.
Okay.
Because if you have him, it changes everything.
Okay. So I have him in my chair in my house, and
yeah.
I want to start by giving him praise, thanksgiving. What do I do? Do I do?
You know, what I do is a lot of times everybody. First off, I grab my cup of coffee and turn. I had already prayed up the room the night before. Before I walked in and said, here's your chair, here's this, and I'm praying up and this and saying I'm looking forward and expecting to see you. Then I wake up in the morning, I set my alarm, I'm up early, I get my coffee, I let my dog out, and I go immediately in the room and say, good morning, and I sit down, and I say, thank you so much. I'm just so honored that you're here. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. I said, I'm a mess. I got trouble. I need to share some things with you.
Yeah.
I got three daughters, three grandkids. I got a business. I got this problem. I got a friend of mine who's got a brain tumor. My grandniece is in trouble. I've got something over here. I got a friend of mine with pancreatic cancer. I need to talk to you and share some of this.
Mm.
I need some business. I need a fresh outlook. I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning. I need to talk. And so, but first, hey, I want to give these to you one by one. I'm just going to stop and say, I'm giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to believe that I'm going to do by faith. I'm going to cast all my care on you who cares for me. That's what I'm trying to do.
All right,
and
Bob,
then I'm going to sit back.
Yeah, I've got a caller on the line. Vince from St. Paul has a question for you. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Vince.
You sound very confident that God loves people in general, or maybe the one that's listening to you on the radio. But if a person is a habitual sinner, it's quite obvious to me as I read the Psalms that God hates those that practice iniquity.
So, Vince, one of the most fantastic aspects of God is that when you turn to him and expect and say, listen, I'm turning from that. I'm accepting Jesus. I'm coming to you. I'm asking for you to come into my life, and you're the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm going to take and accept the blood of Jesus and the grace that you're going to give me. And you're in this today. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm not going to sit now and have to do it. And the habitual sin and any of the aspect that comes back, I'm going to thank you that you are continuing to have a work in me and that you're going to change me from the inside out. You know, what's so fantastic about God is that he works and plants a seed in you. And then the seed all of a sudden swells and starts to take root. And then it starts to change the behavior of who we are. Our desires change. He's the guy who does that. We don't have to do that. The answer is he's going to change you and change your desires. And the answer is, listen, yeah, you know, the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm the greatest of sinners. I do the thing I wish I hadn't done. I wish I hadn't done this. The answer is he's paid for that. And the answer would be is you got to let that person die, just like Paul did on that road to Damascus, and he's going to take care of you. He knows the more time you sit with him, Vince, you need to sit with him and ask him, what do you think about me? Now, I know you hear clearly the enemy talking to you. And that says, gee, you're not worthy of this, and you might as well go back and do it again. But the more time you sit with him, the more time you spend time with him, the aroma, the fragrance, and the love of God is going to just spread across your heart.
That's a great answer, Bob. And Vince, thanks for the call. Appreciate you calling with that question. Bob, I was just curious, you know, when you sit down with God and you have this time with him, it's important to thank him and do it in advance for helping. We can go desperately to God, which is what we probably do every day, but we can start by thanking him in advance for the fact that he's going to help us.
So there's something about this thanking and good cheer that are tied together, aren't they?
I agree.
So there's something about the fact that I believe, and I believe that if that which I give him, he is able to handle. Now, this is a lot of times. My second question is, do you believe he can handle it? So if you give it to him, the answer would be is, it's time for you to thank him for taking it. And now, hey, what do you got for me? And he's going to look at you and go, now listen, Bill, I need you to go out and be cheerful today. I need you to sit and believe. It's just like Vince. Vince has just got to believe that that which he gives God at two chairs. Now, hey, it's hard when we don't go to two chairs. And we listen all day. And listen, I can change your life by three simple things. What you read, what you listen to, and who your friends are. And people got to stop and review that. And your number one friend is God. It's Jesus. And he wants to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't call us a servant. He calls us his friend. It's just unbelievable. It's way over. It's too good to be true. But it is true.
Yeah. We have to be very intentional about weeding out all the garbage that can so quickly get into our minds.
Yes. And that's my chapter on change. Listen to me. I sit down with God and I say, what's the one change you need me to do? And he goes, I'm really glad you asked that, Bob. I want you to change this.
Mm-hmm.
I need you not to, you need to turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
I need you not to, I don't want you surrounded. I don't want you listening to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't watch that TV. You can't watch that movie. Why? Well, you're not going to do it. You asked him. He's going to say, hey, so do you really believe that the thing that's so bothering you and consistently getting you back to think something bad about you, because that's how the enemy works, he not only talks you into it, and then he blames you after you're done.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Come on, we got to stop and say, hey, I'm going to try something. I'm going to try sitting with God for 5 minutes. It's a two-chair, five-minute, 30-day challenge. Can you go for 30 days?
I would say a lot of people would be very intimidated by that.
Well, we can do juicing diets. We can do bean diets. We can do ab masters, which we know we ain't going to do that for long. But we can do these crazy things that we're buying constantly on TV.
Yeah.
And the answer is, you know, hey, listen, the difference here is this pays ridiculous rewards. Why? Because God's faithful. He promises. He said, if you would just show up, I'll do my part. I'll talk to you. I mean, I had to really stop halfway through the book, and he says, now listen, Bob, do you trust me that I'm actually going to talk to people? Because I don't want you to write the book if you're not going to tell people I'm going to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet them. I have some people, they say, I felt him, but I didn't hear him. And I said, have you ever felt that, Bob? And I said, yeah, it's probably like you talking to your wife at night. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not listening to her either. You got to stop and slow down and refocus back in on.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I'm going to focus in on him and be still and watch. Just watch what happens. I promise you, it'll be life-changing.
Yeah. And, Bob, you clearly want to encourage listeners to understand and to be reminded that the Creator of all things really desires a deep and intimate relationship with you.
Yeah. I mean, so this is all about the fact that God so loves you. He wants to talk with you. He needs you. He needs you. He's got some plans for you. You do one thing better than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
And he wants to show you where you're going to shine.
Yeah.
So you're not too late.
Say, Bob, would
you're not too early.
Yeah, Bob, we're just out of time right now. Would you pray for the people that might think this is a good idea? They just need a little encouragement.
So, Lord, I just pray that this simple message, this almost ridiculously childlike message, that we could meet with you, that you'd meet us tomorrow, that we're going to test it with you. God always says, hey, test it with me. Come sit with me. So we're going to tonight set up this two chairs. We're going to wake up early, and we're going to walk in, and we're going to sit down with you and exchange our problems for your love, for your peace. And I pray, and I know that Bill and I are praying right now in agreement with you that he will do that. And God said that if two people agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. And I'm telling you with great 100% confidence that he will meet you, test it and see, and then follow up and read some things. Read this book. Get in here. There's great stories about my mom that are making you cry. And think, what you read, what you're listening to, who your friends are, change everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bob, it's been a blast. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for all your wisdom. I love the book. That wraps up our first hour with Bob Bodine. His book, Two Chairs, The Secret That Changes Everything. Hour two is coming up next.